Okay, thanks everyone for coming. Welcome to 3C, Best Practice Framework for the Management of Site Claims in the Insurance Sector. And we've got Anthea Raven here with us and Tom Nolte down here. They'll both be presenting today. Anthea is the Director and General WHS and Compensation Policy at SafeWork Australia. She has oversight of the strategic issues and workers' compensation and leads the national policy projects on return to work, permanent impairment, site claims management, and supporting general practitioners in their treatment of injured workers. Anthea has a background in health services with over 13 years' experience in key health and social policy areas of the Australian Public Service. These include population health and chronic disease prevention, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health, aged care reform and family programs policy. Tom joined Superfriend in August 2016 in the role of Program Manager, Financial Services. He brings over 11 years' experience of clinical treatment and OCC rehabilitation within the insurance and financial services sectors of the UK and Australia. Tom specialises in the development and delivery of innovative early intervention, claims management and rehabilitation for the life insurance industry. In his role, Tom will be leading the development of programs developed specifically for the finance insurance sector, their employees and members. So I welcome both Tom and Anthea, and over to you.
Thanks, John. So it's fabulous to be here, and I'm glad that so many of you have decided to choose this session, so well done. Our conversation with you today will focus on an approach to managing psychological claims that puts the injured person at the centre. The frameworks we will share with you draw on the latest evidence and best practice approaches in Australia and internationally. And some of you are already doing these things. We've heard that earlier today, which is great. We hope that you're able to take away some ideas about how you can better manage psychological claims in the future. And as John said, I'm Anthea Raven from SafeWork, and I'll be leading the first part of our conversation with you today. So briefly a bit about us. As many of you may already know, Superfriend is a national mental health foundation focused on creating positive, healthy and safe working environments where every employee can be well and thrive. Their goal is to reduce the high rate of suicide and harmful impact of mental illness on individuals and their workplaces. Superfriend is the only mental health organisation that partners with superannuation funds and group life insurers to gain knowledge of the industry's unique needs and respond with tailored solutions. SafeWork Australia is an Australian government statutory body. Our role is to develop national policy relating to work health safety and workers' compensation. We are a tripartite body working in a close partnership with governments, employers and employees. So why are we working together? As you all know, mental health injuries are on the rise, and almost all of the speakers that we've heard here today have talked about this. They're now the leading cause of work absence and long-term work incapacity. And while they represent a small proportion of overall workers' compensation claims, they are the most expensive and result in the most time off work. So we've got some data here from our 2015-16 SafeWork Australia national data set. So this is the analysis of all serious claims. And then underneath that, you'll also see we've got some sort of key findings from work that Dr. Mary Wyatt has undertaken analysing our national return to work survey results. So as Carmel Donnelly spoke about earlier today, people with mental health injuries, you know, have poorer return to work outcomes, but they also have a poorer experience in the process as well. So they're less likely to have contact with their employer, more likely to be concerned about lodging a claim, and more likely to have a dispute with their employer or claim organisation. Psychological claims are inherently more complex and more challenging, and assessing them can be particularly difficult, and sometimes the process itself may actually make the condition worse or cause a secondary injury or illness. And this is common to many insurance sectors. In 2012, Superfriend recognised the need to take action, embarking on a project to enhance their understanding of their members' experience while on claim and to identify ways to improve that experience. Superfriend released its Taking Action framework in 2015, and with the support of Superfriend in 2016, SafeWork Australia started a project to modify the Superfriend framework for the workers' compensation sector. With similar issues in workers' compensation, we were in the privileged position of being able to leverage the great work that Superfriend had commenced. A project to adapt the framework for workers' compensation has been led by an advisory group, and that includes representatives from workers' comp authorities, industry and employer groups, employee groups, Superfriend and Safe Work Australia. And we're also lucky enough to have expert advice provided by Professor Nikki Ellis, who was instrumental in the development of the Taking Action framework. And I can also see a few people in this room who have played a key role in this project along its way, so thank you. We also consulted with insurers and injured workers themselves, and this was crucial to clarify needs in the beginning and to also get feedback on the framework throughout the process. While much of the content remains the same between the two frameworks, the workers' compensation framework reflects some of the key differences between the life insurance and workers' comp sector. And Tom will talk about these in more detail shortly, but these really centre on the legislative requirements, the relationship with superannuation funds, and also the ability to fund treatment. To reflect the system differences, Superfriend's Taking Action framework for the life insurance industry has 8 action areas, whereas the workers' comp framework will have 6 areas. And I'll get to those shortly. Both frameworks are underpinned by 3 core pillars or principles. The first is centering the person on claim. And again, it's been a key message across this morning's sessions. So this is about making the person's social and economic well-being, including returning to work or staying at work wherever possible, a central outcome. It means that all stakeholders have a responsibility to understand the health benefits of work and of early intervention, to commit to collaboration and using evidence-based approaches to ensuring the best outcomes for the person. And we know that improving their outcomes will deliver benefits to other stakeholders in the system. This concept isn't a new one, and I think it was David Bowen this morning who said that, you know, aged care's done this and NDIS is doing it. The second principle is levels of intervention. So that's, about having change at the claims management, organisation and sector levels, and that's needed to be effective. And the third is continuous improvement, so learning from experience and getting better. And, you know, these are all kind of common sense, really. So I'll now briefly explain each of the action areas, and these are the things that you can actually do to better manage psychological claims. So the first really is what the evidence indicates is best practice, and there are 4 key things. Person-centred processes, collaborating with stakeholders, providing the right support and intervention using a biopsychosocial approach, and applying outcome-focused decision-making. The second is about moving beyond processing to claims managers taking on an active role in setting expectations, empowering the injured person, educating and influencing stakeholders in return to work, and implementing sound decisions. It's about recruiting the right people and providing them with the right support and training. And in practice, we're seeing some big insurers take on the role of providing training to claims assessors and training in things like biopsychosocial health, common mental health conditions, and best practice treatments. So 3 is about giving claims managers access to information and guidelines on effective treatment and rehabilitation. It's the evidence. It's also about building relationships and networks of expertise. So, for example, relationships with general practitioners or treating professionals and, you know, training claims managers to identify high-risk or complex claims early to ensure they get the right support. This one will appeal to any actuaries in the room, and as the title suggests, it's about insurers using analytics, including predictive modelling, to make sound decisions. So things like triaging claims based on risk, matching claims to claims manager skills, or identifying claims that don't benefit from extensive intervention by the insurer or agent. Five is one that specifically applies to life insurance, and it's about developing the insurer, superannuation fund and employer relationship to provide early intervention and reduce delays in decisions on claims. Six, again, this is specific to the life insurance sector, and it's about redesigning and changing the underwriting of group life insurance products so that they can support better practice in the form of early intervention. So engaging employers in stay at work and return to work, this one is a key action area for both frameworks. It's about helping insurers to work with employers to reduce barriers to recovery at work and return to work. It's about positive communication, early communication, explaining the process to employers, helping them to make reasonable work adjustments, addressing their concerns about acceptance of liability and any financial impact, and helping them to understand the factors contributing to organisational risk and protective factors. It's really about moving beyond the blame game. And the support needed will vary between employers based on their experience, the resources they have at their disposal, and also their size. So the last one is about recording progress, and it's designed to guide insurers on how to measure the success or otherwise of changes made to improve the management of psychological claims. It uses a quality improvement model whereby monitoring and evaluation data is collected and analysed on a continuing basis to inform improvement. And the six that are sort of still bold, they're the ones that will apply to the workers' compensation framework. So the two lighter ones are the ones that are in the life insurance framework. So putting this all into practice, Superfriend is developing a series of user-friendly guides that will expand on their life insurance action areas framework. Guides for action areas 1 and 2 are available on the Superfriend website now, and soon you'll be able to find the guide for action area 7. SafeWork Australia's journey is still underway, and we're hoping to have our framework for the workers' compensation sector finalised shortly. I encourage you to contact me or keep an eye out on our website for progress. And we'd also love to hear from you about the sorts of things that you might find helpful in undertaking the actions outlined in the framework. Tom from Superfriend will now discuss the differences between the life insurance and compensation sectors and their process for developing the action area guide on engaging with employers.
Thank you, Anthea. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm extremely pleased to be here on behalf of Superfriend today to talk about this topic. And we were just delighted that SafeWork Australia wanted to adapt the framework we released in 2015. The collaboration has been a fantastic opportunity, and the opportunity that the key themes and messages of the framework that talk to life insurance and the management of psychological claims can be consistent across the legislative and non-legislative systems of disability insurance. And the process has been an extremely interesting one, in the sense that we've been able to observe some of the differences, but the vast similarities between the different schemes, of the challenges and the issues that are faced in life insurance and workers' compensation that across both schemes, around common themes of putting the person at the centre of the process and tailoring your communication methods and systems, and also how to engage well with employers to support people to stay at work and return to work. And it's in that final section that I wanted to talk to a little bit today. Across disability insurance, whether it be motor vehicle accident, workers' compensation, life insurance, a key outcome goal for the claims management is, and one that we celebrate within insurance and promote, is these good stories where we've been able to facilitate and coordinate somebody to stay at work, to support the employer to be able to identify signs and symptoms that somebody might need support, and to provide intervention and support them, and as an insurer, how we can actually provide the expertise to the employer to do that. Although the life insurance sector and workers' compensation and the experiences of the employer and the insurer can differ quite wildly in their engagement with employers to support people to return to work. Whereas state-based schemes differ within their legislation, but generally an employer has a duty to consult with a worker and the other parties and the rehabilitation providers to develop a return to work plan or be part of the development of a return to work plan that is meaningful, is timely and has the provision for suitable duties that are meaningful, not throwaway duties but duties that are purposeful and meaningful, and this all needs to be done within a certain time frame and SLA under the legislative requirements of their scheme. This, obviously, for those of you in the room who work in these sectors, is nothing new, and employers on a whole have a fairly good understanding, depending on their size, of their obligations through their workers' compensation scheme. They're acutely aware of the impact on their premium renewal in the new year on each and every workers' compensation claim that might come through their door, and generally aware of the support that might be provided to them by the scheme agent to provide rehabilitation and return to work support to them. And underpinning that, employers also have the work health and safety law duties to provide a health and safety, to ensure the health and safety of workers wherever possible. In comparison with life insurance, who continue to strive to achieve the same return to work outcomes and have invested significantly within their own internal operations to build out their rehabilitation practices and their programs and their initiatives. But the predominant issue there is that there is no regulatory obligation for an employer to engage with a life insurer when they want to engage with a return to work plan. And this can have a number of knock-on effects. There's a lot of issues with delays in claim notifications. Quite often, a person on claim may have been through a workers' compensation claim already. By the time a claim has been notified to a life insurer, particularly in group life insurance and insurance within super, there may have been months, if not years, of challenges and experiences and beliefs and behaviours that make the return to work quite challenging for the life insurer. And at the time when they do look to engage with an employer, there's often, it's not uncommon that the employer has policies and processes specifically for helping those impacted by work-related injury that will be impacting their workers' compensation premium. So the provision of suitable duties and support for those that do not impact that premium, that it's a life insurer through superannuation insurance, they come up against some barriers there. These issues kind of speak to problems around visibility and access. So within superannuation with insurance and super, there is no premium incentive for the employer. The premium lies with the employee and where their super is held. The life insurers want to be able to have access and visibility to employers in order to help them, where possible, to identify signs and symptoms of someone struggling and to provide the right type of support to help them stay in work, to keep the well and to manage illness when it occurs. The issue with the non-regulatory requirement and the delays in claim notifications create barriers around actually having access and visibility to provide support as and when they would like to and to be preventative. And many large employers are aware of some of the supports available through life insurance, but through our consultation process, it was clear that small and medium employers outside of workers' compensation have a very limited understanding of life insurance, certainly insurance within superannuation and what type of support that might be provided to their employees or to themselves to help people return to work. An underpinning theme of the collaboration with Safe Work Australia was that to try and go beyond the regulatory requirements of what the minimum standards are within workers' compensation to support the return to work process, and within life insurance to go beyond the boundaries of the non-regulatory requirements and to be innovative and to create really innovative programs of disability management and to see where they can collaborate across schemes in order to build that visibility and that access to employers to help people return to work. Safe Work Australia started the process to translate our framework for workers' compensation in late last year, and I started a project early this year to develop the next action area guide. This one was titled Engaging Employers in Stay at Work and Return to Work, and the audience for this was life insurers. And the purpose of the guide is to provide practical guidance to life insurers to how they can better engage with employers to support people to stay at work and return to work. But the collaboration with Safe Work Australia had highlighted the benefit in cross-sector collaboration, bringing different people from different sectors and industries together to discuss their experiences in return to work, and the fact that everybody essentially is after the same thing. They all want to engage with their employers, and they all want to build capability and programs to support people to stay at work. So we continued this theme in the consultation process for this guide. We held a workshop in Sydney in April, and we purposefully invited subject matter experts and industry experts across legislative and non-legislative schemes of disability insurance who might otherwise work within their own regulatory requirements and their own employer, and to build that cross-sector collaboration so that people can share their experiences, share their ideas, talk about innovations that could be, that have worked in their industry that could transfer to other industries. And the outcome of that industry collaboration informed the content of the guide. So we brought along workers' compensation regulators, we brought along life insurers, rehab providers who have a, you know, often work across all forms of disability insurance and case management, have an incredible insight as to what works well when it comes to engaging with employers. Medical experts, academics, scheme agents, life insurance reinsurers, and we had a good cross-section of employers representing different sizes and industries and different industry bodies to inform kind of what works for them and what their issues and needs are when it comes to dealing with different forms of insurance. So as I said, the outcomes of that consultation and that collaboration created a number of really excellent ideas and examples of current best practice, but kind of emerging good practice, things that we can aspire to, ideas around what might be possible in the future around cross-sector collaboration, working with employers and being more having a more of a preventative lens around working upstream, so tertiary prevention, where life insurers can work with employers to help them build their own capability within their managers and supervisors, to see when somebody needs support and to either be able to deliver that themselves or to know where to go to get the support from a life insurer that can help them to do that. And we developed a number of practices. We developed five practices overall that the workshop determined to be kind of the main themes that he wanted us to talk to. And the first one was around building understanding and capability in stay at work and return to work. And that's specifically for those managing claims within life insurers. And what kind of training and upskilling and resources can be provided to claims managers to understand what the evidence speaks to around the interventions that support return to work and to build their own capability and understandings. The second one was around specifically how to approach stay at work. The guide didn't talk to predominantly when a claim is submitted and has been going on for a long period of time, how to engage with that employer to return to work. We focused it purposefully on a preventative lens around what are the opportunities for superannuation funds and life insurers to work with employers to help them identify when somebody requires support and to know where to go to get the assistance and support. And these themes cross over from life insurance into workers' compensation as well. And that whole approach was focused on stay at work, so managing the disability and working proactively and preventively. There was the predominant cohort in group life insurance, especially insurance within superannuation. The main employers that are worked with are those of the small to medium in size, in significant numbers, and was extremely insightful during the workshop in understanding that they have a really unique set of challenges, completely separate to the large employer, that really need to be better understood by the insurance sector on a whole. They are time poor, they wear multiple hats, they have limited experiences at times, and they, on the whole, desperately want to support their people to return to work. And I guess they may not, whilst they have an awareness of the workers' compensation requirements, they may not own the injury if it's not work-related, but they certainly own the impact of that in their business through productivity, issues with replacement costs, having to retrain staff, and being an employer that supports everybody to be healthy and to support their well-being at work. The issue for small to medium employers is they have a limited understanding of life insurance and they do not know where to go to get the support that they want. And they want it at the time that they need it. And there's a significant opportunity for superannuation funds and life insurers to be more strategic the way they engage with small to medium businesses. We looked at programs locally and internationally where insurers and funds have developed innovative disability management programs that have helped to get employers on board with supporting everybody within their business, regardless of how and where an injury that's impacted them at work has occurred. And we looked at some life insurers that are running early intervention programs that capture day one absence. And we looked at some international programs where there's been co-funding arrangements between different insurers and different employers as examples of what could be done with certain programs to support everybody within the workplace. And the final practice was around improving communications and really tailoring within the life insurer how they communicate with their stakeholders and understanding from them exactly what mode and method of that communication they want, making sure that they speak to the right people at the right time and delivering the right type of resources and information in a way that their audience wants it, as opposed to the way that's easier for them to deliver it. And I guess a lot of these practices cross over regardless of the scheme of insurance around tailoring communications, being in a preventative focus for focusing on stay at work and engaging with certain cohorts of employers that want support but might not know where to get it. We also include a significant number of case studies locally and internationally that kind of highlight organisations, insurers, rehab providers, employers that are doing great things around supporting their people to try and inspire good, you know, ideas with insurers of programmes or pilots that they could consider and see that are being run. We looked a little bit into the future around a bit more aspirationally around what opportunities might exist in Australia for the disability insurance sector to collaborate a little bit more, to collaborate across their schemes, to work, I guess, look outside of their particular scheme and to see how they can simplify processes for engaging with insurers in regards to the processes for return to work that an employer goes through. And underpinning all of these things, we promoted the evidence around the health benefits of good work and really what is it that funds, superannuation funds and life insurers can be doing to help employers create psychologically safe workplaces and to promote a mentally healthy workplace so that they can promote the positive within the workplace, they can look to keep the well, and when injury occurs that they're able to act early and provide support to people when they need it in stay at work. And these are practices that underpin everything else, and if superannuation funds and insurers are able to focus on that as a preventative and a tertiary preventative program, the level of support that can be provided to people that need it before a claim occurs can be significantly improved. The framework, the action area is not yet released, but it will be available in the new year. And these are just some of the areas that you can go to download any of the resources from ourselves or the Safe Work Australia website. And that's it, everybody. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Tom and Anthony. That was really, really interesting. Might open it up to the floor now for some Q&A. If you can make your way to the mic if you wish to ask a question, just so that your voice can be heard on the recording and people can get the full content later on.
Thank you for your presentation. Just a quick question. What evidence is there to support that the best practice framework is actually the best practice framework? One of the challenges I have as a regulator is I'm going to need to roll this out across my scheme, and I'd like a little bit of additional information around what's available out there that would suggest that this is the right way to go.
Sure. Well, I guess in the development of the original Taken Action Framework, there was a considerable amount of consultation around literature reviews, academic research and rapid reviews around certain areas that have evidence base around them regarding person-centred processes, engaging with employers, best practice in treatment and rehabilitation. Where there was less kind of evidence available, the consultation process was quite significant in bringing stakeholders and subject matter experts together in order to develop, as an industry, and as the end user through the experience of the person on claim, what they consider to be the current best practice and what we might want to kind of strive for in the future as good practice. So there was a certain amount of kind of evidence base that we could refer to in the literature reviews and the rapid reviews, and then the consultation process to create the consensus among the industry within Australia that was quite wide, where we ought to be promoting that we go and where we should advocate for these processes and this essentially the person-on-centre approach to the management of the claim. That helps.
Yep. Any further questions there?
Thanks for a very interesting presentation, Nikki Appleton. With the framework for organisations who might consider putting it in place, mm-hmm. have you got suggestions for metrics that they might be able to monitor along the way? I mean, obviously the ultimate goal is an improvement in your return to work rate, but is there some metrics or indicators that organisations can measure along the way so that they can gauge how they're going and if the framework's actually being useful as they're
sure.
putting it in place?
Sure. I guess within SuperFriend, the framework has been 2 years released now. We have looked into kind of quantifying and providing a measurement metric around these are the kind of core principles of the best practice and providing support to the to our partner insurers around this is how you kind of measure how you are performing. We've actually found that it's a voluntary program, is not regulatory or legislative in that sense, that most of our partner insurers have actually pulled away from that approach. What we have done is more of a qualitative evaluation process quite recently around going out to our insurers and having a round of consultations around what their level of engagement with the framework has been and examples of where they've implemented practices and where they see the value in the framework in advocating for their own internal processes and procedures, and but we haven't actually, we have recording processes as one of the action areas around the way that insurers can kind of streamline the way they record data and having kind of single systems to record data, certainly within life insurance that's quite convoluted, but we haven't got a metric around actually measuring. I guess the framework has been used, and we found this is a more of a kind of pick and choose as an insurer as to the areas that they want to focus on, and that's why we developed action area guides to speak to specific things so they could be picked up and implemented. So we have found that insurers haven't kind of gone through the end to end. It's been more of a, they'll focus on certain areas that they are aware that they need to do some work on and use the framework and the guide to provide indicators and guidance as to where they can do what they can do with that. So we haven't got a clear set of metrics for that.
Yes.
Hi, Tom.
I was just going to add to Tom's comment. So in the workers' compensation framework, there is actually a, proposed measurement matrix, and that has indicators by stakeholders. So you've got indicators for the person on claim, employers, insurers, and the system. And then there's actually another section within the framework that then looks at indicators by stakeholder, by action area. So if you did want to sort of focus in on particular areas, that would give you a pretty good start of the sorts of things that you could look at measuring. There's also guidance in that section about where you might go to get data as well. So,
Hi, Tom. I recall a slide from 2 years ago at this conference. Mm. That talked about the prognosis of the common mental health conditions. And interestingly, this prognosis was quite good with proper treatment. Most of them were quite resolvable under relatively short time frames. So I'm concerned a little bit about the management emphasis and the lack of emphasis on using evidence-based treatment. And even before that, I'm a little concerned about the failure to include clinical signs as part of the diagnosis protocol and relying almost entirely on reported symptoms as the diagnostic mechanism. Do you have any comment on either of those kinds of issues?
Well, the the action area for bringing evidence to treatment and rehabilitation, one of the main outcomes of that was that for life insurers particularly, the having ready access that's regularly updated and accurate around what it is in terms of best practice clinical treatment for psychological injuries is extremely difficult for them to be able to get their hands on as a trusted source that's regularly updated and kept. And it was a recommendation in the original framework that a central body look to create a bit of a repository of what that looks like for them to be able to access. I guess what we wanted to steer a little bit away from was a clinical medical diagnostic model around the treatment and look more around emphasising the biopsychosocial and the areas within claims management that we felt there was and the consultation felt there was a greater focus of need of training and skills around identifying the other areas within the person's life that can be leveraged and where you can go to support that as a whole person,
yeah.
And steer a little bit away from a clinical medical model of determining this is the treatment and these are the indicators.
Okay, appreciate that. Just to respond to the first part of it, though, you might take a look at the Australian Psychological Association's website where they have a compendium of evidence-based treatment guidelines.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions there? Anthea, did you had a question for the room, did you, rather than me saying something intelligent?
Okay. I'll save you from having to do that. I just was interested whether anyone had any comments about the sorts of resources and tools that they think would be helpful to implement the actions in the framework. And, of course, I'm particularly interested in the workers' comp stuff, but I'm sure Tom would be interested if anyone had any other ideas as well. So, yeah, any thoughts?
Look, there is some reason to believe that the frequency with which these conditions are underdiagnosed, misdiagnosed, or otherwise medicalized is a concern. And if I was to start anywhere, I would look at that process and look at the gold standard, say, for instance, in Canada, where mental status examinations that compare signs and symptoms and look for the gaps that aren't consistent with those. That as a starting point for that. Then I would look at the kind of treatment that's actually being provided versus the kind of treatment that the evidence supports and look at those gaps. I understand that the framework had a different intent and well and good. It's not intended to be a criticism of the framework. But if it's going to be practically implemented, then those two questions have to be at least on the table to be able to get all the other things that you're asking for engaged.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, right on cue. Thanks very much. Thanks again, Anthea and Tom, for a great session. And we've got a small token of the Institute's appreciation.